Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Hour number two on Fantasy Sports Today. Thanks for joining us on the Fantasy Sports Radio app. Tune in, iHeartRadio, a variety of terrestrial radio stations across the country. Thanks for listening. If you want to give us a call, any draft questions or grade your team or any kind of stuff. As you know, this is always the weird Sunday in our run-up to the NFL season, George, because, yeah, we want to talk about week one games, but I have a draft today. You out there listening have a draft today, tomorrow, maybe even Tuesday night. I know some – or Wednesday. I know some people even like to do a Thursday night party where they're watching the game and doing the draft at the same time. I think that's kind of a fun idea. Get wings and pizza. Let's watch the first game together and do the draft. You're not going to be, unless, you know, Matt, I don't want to say it because I don't want to jinx it. Unless somebody tears their ACL in the first quarter, it's not going to really impact the manner in which you're drafting. You should be done with the draft in an hour and a half, and it's halftime, and then you can watch the rest of the game together. I almost said Matt Ryan, and then followed it up with an injury. If Matt Ryan gets hurt this year, I'm in big trouble, George, because I'm all in on Matty Ice again to have a big bounce-back season. So please don't get hurt, Matt Ryan. Okay. Anyway.
Well, that's the NFL's about, right? That's what we all hate about Mondays, or in this case, Fridays. Yeah, reading all the injury reports from the last day, hoping, praying your players didn't get hurt. I actually don't like drafts on Thursday night before opening night. I want to enjoy the game. I don't want to have to concentrate on my team and drafting my team. And no, I want to enjoy the game and relax and not have to worry about drafting. I want my drafts to be done by Thursday.
You want to watch the opening performances? Who's doing that? Because it's usually a thing.
No. I don't watch the opening performance, okay? I don't care. Okay.
No, you don't.
I'll tune in at 8:30.
You're a music guy, though. I figured you know who's doing the Thursday night NFL singer. Who's doing it? I'm Googling. Is it Carrie? No. No, I'm sorry. I can't find it. We'll figure it out. We'll get to it. Sean Engel will be on that. Find out who's singing during the opening.
That's right. Give it to Sean. Let the producer worry about it.
It's usually a big performer now, though. They've made it this big party. Did I miss anything on the cuts? The Cowboys cut Coney Ealy. That guy's bouncing around the league now. Former big-time pick is not getting it done. You mentioned the Chargers kicker situation. The Jets released Kendrick West. The quarterback shuffle thing continues, like I said. The Dolphins hung on to, this is the one that I was like, oh. They hung on to Brock Osweiler and David Fales to back up Ryan Tannehill. So there, you got some veterans there. Remember we talked about Miami as maybe a destination for somebody like a Bridgewater or somebody else solid. So they're going with Osweiler out there. I can't guarantee that Tannehill's going to play all 16 games due to health and or ineffectiveness. But the odd part is Adam Gase seems to like Ryan Tannehill, and they're just going all in with him this year.
Well, he sort of has to like him because let's face it, yeah. If it doesn't work out with Tannehill, his job's probably done too.
But they didn't draft anybody.
Yeah, but I don't know if they're going to let him go through with another quarterback. You know, if they're going to start – because if you're going to start over, if you draft a quarterback, you have to make sure the head coach you have is the right one to bring him up. Because what are you going to do? Draft the quarterback next year if you're Miami? You know, you draft –
but that's his reputation in the league is Adam Gase working with
quarterbacks. A lot of this is – his reputations are all BS. You know, because you worked with one quarterback and did well – and you're a quarterback guru? Yeah, right. I'm sure that's how it works out. It had nothing to do with the quarterback's talent. So I always think that's kind of silly. Unless you've done it multiple times. And I mean multiples in three, four, five times. Then I might give you this quarterback whisperer thing. But this other stuff is all just crap. And if I'm the owner,
that puts a hole in my Titans theory for this year with Matt LaFleur. That puts a huge hole in the side of my boat.
I'm sorry, I'm sinking you. but if I'm an owner, and I'm going with the new quarterback, I'm going to take the quarterback early next year. And let's face it, Miami's going to have an early draft pick next year, and I'm going to take one of these top guys. I got to make sure the head coach is the right guy. Fail with Tannehill, if that's not working out, and now I'm going to give it a second shot. Don't know if I'm going to go that direction.
The ACL injury to Tannehill last year affected him in so many more ways than was originally thought. That it screwed up their timing, their timeline on Tannehill. You and I talked about it over a year ago, like last summer, before he even got hurt, which was like the first day of camp. We were talking about Tannehill, like this is it for him in Miami. They have to make a decision this year whether or not he's good enough. And then what happens? He gets hurt. And they can't make a decision because they don't know. He was not bad when he was a quarterback. It just may not be good enough to be a franchise guy long term.
I think that's pretty accurate. He's not a franchise guy. He's never going to be a star.
I would bet against as well, but he wasn't terrible.
Yeah, but that's pretty much what we're saying then. You're not terrible. It's not a great recommendation, by the way.
I agree. It isn't. It's not a glowing recommendation.
You're bad, but you're not terrible. That is what he is.
He's in that Jay Cutler range.
Cutler in his day was better, much better than Ryan Tannehill. He could make all the passes. Cutler's problem was he believed, even with a defender on the guy, that he could throw it through a defender and still get it to his man. He believed
that's
in that
a key part of the
so
job.
Much. Yeah, I didn't say he was the brightest man on the planet, other than the woman he married. Was his issue there. No, not bad at all. Not bad at all, Jay.
She's a reality TV star, rich, famous, beautiful. Well, he's also rich, too, so whatever. We digress. We were talking about – so it did screw up the Dolphins' timeline on everything. They were going to make an evaluation on Tannehill in 2017 to decide if he was the guy moving forward. They could get out of the money. It wasn't going to be expensive at all to cut him, and then – What I did read all last year is that Ryan Tannehill was such a good citizen. Remember, he was starting to gain a little bit of a reputation. There was an incident at practice where a couple of guys picked him off, and he allegedly made a comment about have fun cashing your practice squad checks and all that kind of stuff. It was a bad look, and it's when the Dolphins' locker room situation started to fall apart, seemingly. But they did make the playoffs with him and a Matt Moore combo a couple of years ago. Then last year it fell apart with the Cutler experiment, and now here they are. Many people think they have one of the worst rosters. George, you think they're a bottom five team. That's where we're at with the Dolphins right now. We might as well start it there with the over-unders because I'd like to go sort of team by team on this. And we'll start in the AFC East. We might as well talk about the team that we're discussing right now, and it is 6.5 for the Dolphins. I'm guessing you're going to hammer the under on this one.
Well, you know, the AFC is going to be more difficult because they're going to play the Jets twice.
That's
right. They're
going
to play the Bills twice.
That's right.
I mean, their roster is terrible, yeah, but so is Buffalo's. Jets aren't all that much better. You know, so, I mean, all three of these teams are probably bottom 10 teams. I think the Jets have the best roster of all these three teams. But I can't say that means they're going to beat Miami twice. You know, so Miami could get, theoretically, three wins out of this. I think they only get two. I'll give them a split there. But so I can't say necessarily without looking at the rest of their schedule, which I assume is going to be difficult for them. But I'm looking at it real quick here. Yeah, I think under sounds good.
They went 6-10 last year. The schedule right now, we'll rattle it off quick so we can get through as many teams as we can before the final gun sounds. Start hosting the Titans, then at the Jets, then hosting the Raiders, at New England, at Cincinnati. This is tough. This is not great. They host the Bears, they host the Lions, then to Houston, then they host the Jets, then to Green Bay. Good luck with that. Bye week, at Indy, then Buffalo, then New England, then at Minnesota, Jacksonville, at Buffalo. God, you know what? You're right. Some of the teams on this schedule stink. And the Raiders are not going to go to Miami and win a 1 o'clock game in September heat. We talked about this a couple of weeks back. The schedule lines up maybe a little bit better than we might think. And as bad as Miami can be, they're playing a bunch of crap teams.
There's a reason it's at 6. You know, it's not like Vegas doesn't know that this is a bad team. But, yeah, you get a loss to Tennessee. I already said they'll split with the Jets at 0-2. They'll beat Oakland 1-2, 1-3. Cincinnati, I guess you have to give that a loss on the road. Chicago's a loss. Detroit's a loss. Houston's a loss. Jets, I said, is a win. Green Bay's a loss. I'll give them a win in Indianapolis. Okay, we'll give them a win there. Buffalo, they split, so I think we're now at 4. I still got the under, though. I still got it at 4, maybe 5, if you want to give them a win versus, who am I going to give them a win against? You want to say they're going to beat the Jets twice or beat Buffalo twice? Okay, that's 5. I'll take the under. I don't love it. But I do think it's a bad team, but the schedule does it's one of the more favorable ones. I'll give them 5.
So the over is pushed up a half a win over the course of the last month because of some of the things I mentioned regarding the schedule. The juice is on the over right now, -120 at 6.5 over. But that means they had to go 7-9. 7-9 teams obviously aren't good. But they're kind of knocking on the door of the playoffs for a long stretch of the year. I don't see it. So I'm going to have to say the under as well. I think it's close. I think if you're asking me, and I'm doing my over-under competition later this week, drafting with some high school friends, I could see myself staying away on Miami, where I was starting to get convinced with the schedule, but I think I'd stay away. But if gun to my head, you got to go under. Let's go to the Pats. They are at 11 right now. I always like to have a hook on these. I'd rather it be a 10.5 because the Pats could have a pretty good season, maybe lose somebody for a couple of games and go 11-5, and then you push on the bet. That being said, I think Pats are going to go over easy. Competition is easier than ever. I think they're going to smoke through the first 3 months of the season, George, and try to race to that one seed because they know that they need it with guys like Brady that are a year older and wanting to get people like Edelman and Gronk as healthy as they can for the playoffs, hopefully rest somebody. But they, after that Steelers game on week 15, they're going to hope that they're like 13-1. And then they host the Bills and Jets. So I'm going to go with the Pats over 11.
Yeah, then they're not going to be 13-1. Their opening schedule is not easy at all. I know that they could be 2 losses before it even gets out of September. I understand
right.
It's unlikely, but it could easily be that way. So I don't see
hosting Houston at Jacksonville at Detroit Miami. That's September. That's 3-1.
They'll beat Miami. They'll certainly beat Miami. Houston, tough game. Houston really should have beat them last year at home. If not for some time management problems by Bill O'Brien there, they would have beaten New England at home last year. So it's no lock there. Houston's back. They had all their defensive players back. It'll be a tough game there.
Their record in home openers is unbelievable. I don't know that they
wasn't good. Wasn't good last year against KC.
True.
Yeah. So that's true. You want to give them the win there? I can't really argue it. It is the home opener. Lord knows playing in New England's no fun. And we'll see. But I just don't think Houston's going to be afraid to go there because they know they should have won that game last season. I think that Jacksonville game's a loss against in week 2. And it's in Jacksonville. Even in Detroit, you play, a little rivalry there. Matt Patricia getting his job there. So we'll see how that works. I don't think it's a guarantee that we could say they're going to be 3-1. I think it's maybe probable, but 2-2 doesn't shock me. Not in the least. Then Indianapolis, KC, fine. At Chicago in week 7. That's tough as well now, especially what Chicago could do there. That offensive line for New England is going to be tested in this game. Maybe their first true test of the year as well. What happens here? Khalil Mack's there now. He'll be in full swing by then. So I think that's an interesting game in Chicago. Green Bay 2 weeks later is not going to be. Then they're at Tennessee. Then they play Minnesota also. They're at Pittsburgh. I don't think they'll be anywhere near 13-1. As far as 11 wins, I mean, if all goes wrong, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. If everything went wrong, I could see them being 9-7. I think 11 wins once again is right. I mean, if everything went wrong, they lose 2 out of the first opening games. They lose to Jacksonville, let's say, and Houston.
Matt Castle went 11-5.
I'm just saying, if everything went wrong there, Michael, you lose
everything
to Chicago,
did go wrong. They went 11-5.
You lose to Green Bay. You lose to Tennessee. You lose to Minnesota. You lose to Pittsburgh. It's all possible. These are all playoff teams. We're not talking about them losing a couple of games to Buffalo here. If everything goes wrong, they could go 9. Of course, it won't. It never does for any team, by the way. Does it all go wrong? But 11 wins probably right is about the mark here. I wish it was 11.5. I would take the under.
I think they're going to win 11.
I think they're going to win 11 even.
I got to push you one way or the other.
I'm still going to go under.
All right. So George is apparently drinking early this morning.
Well, I am drinking early. Just
Patriots,
not alcohol.
Patriots are going to win 10 games.
No wide receiver core. The offensive line's a mess. I'm going under. They're one Gronk injury away from oblivion.
All right, let's both get on the same page here and hammer a team. We got to go quickly on the Bills. I think we've both gone under on the Bills. We've been
that's just finding
the
win.
The Bills. I know. They might be like an 0-8 team.
Baltimore, Chargers, Minnesota, Green Bay, Tennessee, Houston. Their first win might come in Week 7 at Indianapolis. All right, and I won't give them a win there, not at Indianapolis. Indianapolis, New England, Chicago. All right, then you go to Week 10 at New York. No. Jacksonville, Miami's. Oh, my God. What's the over-under for them?
6.
Oh, my God. I'll bet my house.
Hard under.
No way. No way they're winning 6.
Hard under the Bills.
It would have been 4 I might have taken the under.
I have the first pick in my over-under draft. We do like a snake draft, 4 people. We pick 4 teams each. I think we're going 5th this year to do an alternate for like a tiebreak. This may be the first pick overall. They're -190 on the under. So that's heavy juice. I think it's now become the most expensive bet, and I'll check during the break. We'll do the Jets very quickly here, George. Where is it? There they are. 6. Jets are also 6. Juice is on the under at -125. I think the Jets are going to go over.
Well, we'll talk a bit more about after the break here. But I think Sam Darnold is going to start there. So that does make a difference now. I think that'll probably hurt them more in the end. Yeah, we'll talk about it more after the break here. I'll go through the schedule here.
Sounds good. Yeah, George will check the schedule. We'll do the Jets right after the break and then move over to the AFC North on FST. Thanks for joining us on your Sunday morning. We'll be right back.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Fantasy Factor is the only exclusively single-entry DFS site. They have free rolls, registering all the time, and great promotions for free prizes. Keep a lookout for Fantasy Factor's free $1 million Survivor Contest, opening this week. Maybe open already. So go to FantasyFactor.com, that's FantasyFactor.com, and look for it. Tweet at me. Do whatever you need to do. So on Twitter, we put up another poll. Which guy would you rather have this season, Alfred Morris or Adrian Peterson? Let's get some early returns on that one, and I'll check the Mac one as well. Let's see what the results are here on the Twitter poll thus far. Who would you rather have this season, Alfred Morris and Adrian Peterson? Who would you rather have, George? I'm making you pick.
Alfred Morris. They both have a pass catching back in Thompson and Breida. San Fran's a better team. You know what? I think I'm leaning Morris.
Yeah, me too. So Alfred Morris just gets 71% of the vote so far. It's real early. The votes are piling in on the Raiders side. With whom would you rather build? I wanted to be correct grammatically, so I asked in a super pompous way. But we want to know, with whom would you rather build your NFL team? 25% Derek Carr, 75% Khalil Mack. Like, these are just people voting on Twitter. They got it. 25%, I don't know what you're looking at, but the people have spoken. And John Gruden doesn't know what he's doing. Maybe Mark Davis doesn't know what he's doing. He's going to Vegas. He's going to make $1 billion. So what does he care? I guess. Their team's way worse now.
Yeah, it's they are way worse. I don't think there's any way of looking other way of looking at it. That trade really doesn't make sense, and it didn't make sense yesterday before we knew what they were giving back.
I agree.
Draft picks were involved. We were all hammering it. Now when you see this, it's just like, wow. I think you put it perfectly. You know, there was a trade yesterday, and one team was wearing a mask.
Yeah. The only, as you just stated, at no point during this offseason did this make sense. And I didn't know what they were getting, and I didn't know where he was going, and it makes even less sense now. So that's all I can say. I think the Raiders are a rudderless ship at the moment, and they have a TV personality who is running the organization with a quarterback and two rookie tackles, a quarterback who has had a broken leg in the past and might be staring down the barrel of the heat of pass rush all season long. They actually do have talent on the offensive line, but right now two rookies slotted in at the bookends. So can't love that. So back to the Jets. We were going through the schedule during the break. It's the problem with the Jets over is that they have to get to 7. Are they a 7-win team with a rookie QB? I actually think they can get there. But George doesn't like it at all. The schedule, here it is, at Detroit, hosting Miami.
To get the 7, they have to win every game they can. And that just doesn't happen in the NFL.
That's right.
You're going to lose some games. You're not going to do it.
Would you give them one against the Pats?
No. I can't assume one against the Pats. Is it possible? Sure. But I don't know.
Bill in New England.
Rookie quarterback.
In New England, week 17, December 30th, Pats
game might
could have
not
it locked
mean anything.
Up.
I mean, but the way I have it with the Pats, I don't think they will have it locked up. The division, yes, but not home field. So I think this is going to be the year they're going to need to play that week 17.
You have 4 unders in the AFC East? How's that possible?
Because it's the worst division in football. It is. It's not even close.
It is bad.
It's not bad.
It's really bad.
It's really bad. Think of another division
really
where you don't have a possible second playoff team.
But there's one team that's going to potentially win the Super Bowl in it. I'm just trying to get you over on one of them.
No. No. Hey, you look at the Jets. You want to get them to 7. It means you're assuming they're going to beat up on pretty much their own division. All right? They're going to have to beat Miami and Buffalo. They got to win 3. And I don't know if that's possible because they're not that much better than I have a team. All right? And then you're going to give them a win at Cleveland in week 3, and that's a Thursday night game in Cleveland. That's not easy to do. Win on the road on those Thursday night games. And Cleveland's not the Browns that they used to be. Now you want to give them a win that they're going to beat Denver in week 5 at home because it's at home. Denver with that defense, I think they'll shut down Donald. I don't know where the points are coming from. I don't think the Jets' running game is going to be great there, so I don't know if that's a win. Indianapolis at home, sure, you got to give them that win. I get it, but that's far from a lock. You know, I don't know if I love that. And then where's the other win coming from? Where's it coming from? That's the problem here. Chicago, Miami, we already said Miami, Buffalo, win 3. New England, Tennessee, Houston, Green Bay. Those are their games outside of the division. Where's the win? Well, wins.
We talked about the definition of sweat earlier. This one you're sweating until December 30th, 4 o'clock. The Jets would have to get that Pats win on the road. That's would likely have to be their 7th win. So that's a tough one. And it would not look good going into December, by the way. But you could see a situation where they win at Buffalo. They could beat Houston. Green Bay is going to be pushing
hard. They can
hard.
Beat Houston? Really?
Maybe.
How bad a team do you think Houston is?
We'll get to that. I have my doubts on Houston. And then they'd have to beat the Pats in New England on December 30th. If it doesn't mean anything for the Pats, greatly increases your chances. So, all right, so you have the
I
under.
Just
you have
the Green Bay game in week 16, too. They're going to go 4-0 in December.
Give them that game. I cannot give them that game, obviously. They'd have to go 3-1 probably in December. I'm aware of how difficult a bet this is, which is why I may change my answer. The schedule's a little tougher than I thought.
Under.
So, you have – it's just they have to get to 7. So I'm changing it. It is an under. But I reserve the right to change my mind.
My job is done. I changed Mike's mind. I can quit the rest of the day now. I'm out of here.
It's just 7.
Nice knowing you.
If it was 6, I would take it if they can get to 6. But You know what? Screw it, George. I'm sticking with my original answer. Never change your gut. I'm going over on the Jets, 6.5. And you have the Pats to win the division. We have no playoff teams here, correct? Outside of the Pats.
Outside of the Pats, yeah. Just the New England Patriots.
I want, making these notes as we go. So moving on to the AFC North, we got the Pittsburgh Steelers. They are currently at 10. Man, there's a lot of flat bets here. I need a hook on some of these. Steelers are at 10 right now. The juice is on the over, -145, +125 on the under. When I say the juice, it's just the way in which the money is leaning, and clearly at -145, it means you have to bet 145 to win 100. So we have the Steelers at 10. I do not think the Steelers are as good a team as they were last year. But that being said, I do think they'll win this division. Will it be completely comfortable? Probably not. But I think they win the division by a game, maybe two. They won it by four games last year. And their schedule wraps up. I remember it not being that tough the last time I looked at it. I'm sorry. I have like 32 schedules floating
around. It's a 50-50 December schedule. They have two easy games, two hard games.
Yeah, that's right. So they start at Cleveland, give me a W. They host the Chiefs, give me a W. At Tampa, W, 3-0. Hosting the Ravens, hosting the Falcons. I could see them losing one of those, 4-1. Let's say going into the middle of October. Then at Cincinnati.
I'm not so willing to give you an automatic win against Cleveland. I think that first game, Ben's or Pittsburgh's problems on the road. I would agree. I would have to give it a win, but I don't think it would be an easy game.
Are you with me at 5-1 to this point?
Four and one.
And then at Cincinnati. Still
5-1.
Oh, you like them to beat Cincinnati there. Okay. I can see that being 4-2 going into the bye week. Then hosting Cleveland, W, 5, at Baltimore, loss. Hosting Carolina, give it to me again. It'd be 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, I have 6 at this point.
Here's the problem with this. Their schedule of problems coming up right now.
Yeah. At Jacksonville.
I'll go with the Jags.
At Denver.
That's the tough one. Because, man, the next week they play the Chargers, too. I don't know if I can give them 3 losses in a row. Second game going out west. Dodgers. Denver thin air. I just don't love Denver either. I just wish they had a better quarterback there. But I think it's going to be a tough game. I'm going to give them a win here.
Okay. And then they host the Chargers.
And I think I'll give them a loss here. I like the Chargers. But even though it's on the road, I'll give the Chargers a better chance to win here. Even though I don't love the fact that they're coming out east.
It's a 1 o'clock game. East. Yeah, that's a tough one. I'll give that to the Steelers every time. At Oakland. Thanks, W.
I think we know what that is.
Hosting New England. Tight game last year. Based on George's feelings of the Pats, that could be a coin flip game.
I think if it was in New England, I'd go New England. It's in Pittsburgh, I'll go Pittsburgh.
All right. The Steelers haven't beaten them forever, but I hope you're right. At New Orleans, that's a tough one in week 16.
I'll go Saints.
You got to give the Saints there, and then they host the Bengals. So you got a lot of wins there for the Steelers. I had 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. I have 11.
Yeah, I have the over. I think I'd win more 12. I could see them losing one game to Cincinnati to make it 11. I can certainly see that. But either way, I think Pittsburgh. What was the over under? 10? 10 and a half?
10.
Yeah, 10. I have the over.
So do you have the Steelers winning the division?
Yes. I think you put it perfectly. I think they'll win it not as comfortably as last year, but they'll win it. It's a better division. I don't think it's great by any means, but I think Baltimore's a better team with the receiving core there, good defense. Cleveland is certainly. Well, that's not saying much. They can't be much worse than they were last year, but it's a much improved team. You know, I don't know if they're going to challenge 500 like some people think they are, but they're an up-and-coming team. I like what they've done there. They'll be fine. And Cincinnati, Cincinnati is Cincinnati.
Greg Williams, their defensive coordinator, calling their first-round pick stupid to the media is not a great look. I would just submit that for the Browns. I think if you watch Hard Knocks, you're like, I don't think this is how this is supposed to work, but in any event, they're a lot more talented than they were. Here's my final thought on the Steelers before we'll move to the Browns next. Their year to win the Super Bowl was last year. You have these small windows, pockets of teams, you know, because the personnel is changing so much. And Ben is getting towards the end, and Le'Veon Bell is probably going to move on. and you can't promise that Antonio Brown is just going to be the number one wide receiver in the league year over year. But the reality is, when Ryan Shazier got hurt, the defense fell apart. And they were a championship defense with him, and they weren't without him, which was evident in the fourth quarter against the Patriots and clearly evident in the game against Jacksonville. They kind of lost their way defensively. They made some coaching changes. Now they got a first-year offensive coordinator. I don't think Todd Haley was the problem, but it's clear that he grates on people over time, so they moved on from him. So that's it. That's my thought on the Steelers. I thought the year to win was last year. I don't think that – I thought they had the best roster in the whole league last year, last August. I thought they were better than the Patriots, Jaguars, a bunch of other teams as well, and they didn't get it done, and I don't think they're going to get it done this year. So I think they win the division, go to the playoffs, and anything can happen, but that's kind of where I feel on the Steelers. I don't know if you disagree or agree on that.
I don't think they were the best roster overall. I do think they were maybe the best team. I mean, they got screwed in the Jesse James, the overturn there. I got screwed. It was just, whatever with that stupid rule, which I don't think the NFL
is ridiculous
that much this year.
Bad break, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, then again, they're going to be there again this year. I mean, they're a good overall team. I don't know if they were. I think the part I agreed was the championship defense. I don't know if I quite go that far. Losing, obviously.
No, well, let me. I don't want to suggest that they're the 85 Bears. I thought that defense was good enough to win a championship. That's a different way of saying it, and probably
is a different way. Okay, that's. I would agree with that. Yes. I like the Steelers. I wonder. What does a change from Todd Haley do? Yeah, that's one of my. I think that gets underrated when you lose a coordinator. It could be a good thing.
I agree.
Lodos Ben didn't like him. They had their issues. I think part of it was because Haley tried to protect Ben a little bit. I mean, they had disagreements about quarterback sneaks. And I don't think that was necessarily Haley who wouldn't let him do it. I think they came from up above, that they were trying to protect Ben, protect the head and all that. But Ben wanted to do that. He wanted to run more no huddle. Now he gets to do that this year. And maybe their problems on the road weren't really so much Ben. Maybe it was the play calling. Maybe Haley was more conservative on the road. We've seen that before. With teams, they don't run as many chancy plays because on the road it's tougher. So maybe that's what Ben was bitching about as well. And maybe things open up now. I guess once again, maybe I'm hoping that these home road splits, since I have been in a couple of leagues, don't come around as much here. But the Steelers are certainly one of the best teams in the AFC, and they'll be there in the end. One little baseball note, by the way, Aaron Boone suspended for today.
He gave it to that guy the other night. I'm sorry, a little baseball break in the action. He gave it to that umpire the other night, and it was the most fired up I've ever seen Aaron Boone, ever. And he
was heated. I'm surprised
that
got a one-game suspension.
Me too.
I mean,
what did he do?
Oh, yeah,
he touched his
hat
rim?
He went behind the plate. No, I don't think he even touched it. He went behind the simulated
the
catcher there. Yeah, I mean, and that got you a suspension? Really? I mean, I've seen arguments much worse that don't. That was a surprise to me. It just happened now. He'll serve the suspension today. Also, Giancarlo, if you're playing DFS, Giancarlo Stanton has a rare day off today.
Finally. It's 85 days.
He's obviously needed it, too, because he's in a big slump. Doesn't look good out there.
Big time.
And the Yankees have a big West Coast trip. 3 games in Oakland, 3 games in Seattle this week. So I guess they want to give him – he'll get a rest today, and the Yankees are off Thursday, so he'll get 2 days off this week.
I know he gets paid handsomely, but in my opinion, Giancarlo Stanton has earned every dime this year. He has been a rock for a team in his first year with the team, with a lot going on around him, transition to make, with injuries all around him. He's been very good for them. I know that at times he's gone through horrible slumps and struck out a lot, but the power numbers have been there, and I think he's been a solid influence, is my opinion.
Agreed. I don't think anybody could know it. Well, there'll be somebody who'll complain, but I agree. For what he's gone through, he should only get better in subsequent years as he gets used to New York, used to the
totally
pressure
agree.
Around it. And remember, he's had no Aaron Judge now for a month and may not have him back. So he's had to deal with even more of the pressure. And he's, other than the past week or so where he's slumped, he's carried the Yankees a long way through that.
Agreed. So we'll probably pick up most of the AFC. We spent a lot of time on the Steelers. By the way, that offensive coordinator that they have has been the quarterback's coach there for a long time, so it's familiar with Ben and everybody, Randy Fitchner. So hopefully he gets every ounce out of Ben this year. So the Browns, it's gone down, actually, the number. So the number is now 5.5. But the juice is on it's gone over from where it was about 2 months ago. But right now, it's stabilized. The juice is on the over at 5.5. So the Browns have to get to 6 wins to push over, and the money is on the over right now. I think that's a little bit of Hard Knocks. I think that's a little bit of people saying, oh, they have to be much better. But right now, you can go through it game by game after the break. But I'm still going to take the Browns under. I don't think they're going to get to 6 wins this year.
I'm taking the over.
Really?
I got them at 6 even, yeah. So I'm going to take the over here.
All right. Well, that hook helps you a little bit. If it was, you know, if it was 6 on the number and you had to get to 7, I think that changes a lot of people's minds. But people are just assuming they can get to 6. The reality for them last year is that they were a minus 28 in turnover margin. That's impossible to do. Just by accident, that has to get cut in half. So that is impossible to do. So we're going to come back. We'll talk about the Browns, Bengals, and Ravens after the break. It's Mike and George on FST.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Stargell, Stennett,
yeah, right.
Dave Parker, the Cobra, Kent DeColvey.
I can't name a lot of pitchers in there. John Candelaria on that staff.
John Candelaria. I think Jim Bibby might have been there.
Yeah. Yeah. A little throwback. A little old school baseball. Bet DSI is celebrating 20 years.
Stars on the helmet.
Yeah. It's great. Bet DSI is celebrating 20 years as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. They have great customer service and fast, easy payment of winnings. You can play virtually every sport at Bet DSI with hundreds of wagering options. Excuse me. Start this again. You can play virtually every sport at BetDSI with hundreds of wagering options, including live in-game wagering on all major sporting events where you can make your play at any time during the game. BetDSI runs sign-up and deposit promotions year-round, and for a limited time, using promo code FNTSY, BetDSI is offering up to $2,500 as a bonus on your first deposit. So use promo code FNTSY and try BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com, promo code FNTSY. Head on over and start winning today. So we were talking about the Browns right before the break. You know, I had a break in the action before we get to the Browns. I was thinking about salary cap stuff with Aaron Donald, and like a week ago when we checked this, the Rams were 1.7 away from the cap, the least salary cap space in the whole league. They just signed Aaron Donald, and now they have $6.7 million. So somehow they save $5 million through cuts and trades and all this other kind of stuff and moving money around. They're still close on being capped out, but they have a little bit more room than a few other teams. But it made me look on this site. I go to overthecap.com. I also use SpotRack at times. It's S-P-O-T, or SportTrack, SpotTrack, S-P-O-T-R-A-C.com. The Browns have $63 million in cap space still, George, and the Colts have $57 million in cap space. What could each of those teams use? The guy that's on the free agency market?
I know what the Colts could use. I don't know if we're not thinking of the same guy. I don't think the Browns could actually use the same player. Are we talking Dez here?
Yeah.
The Colts, I mean, I'm shocked. Really shocked that the Colts haven't made a move here. I mean, you got Luck back, right? Your defense still is poor. You know, your offensive line's okay at best. Your running game is all beat up. You know, you're going to have to throw the ball a lot. Yet your only true pass catchers are T.Y. Hilton and Jack Doyle. And Jack Doyle's a tight end. You know, he's not a game breaker. This would be, in my mind, the perfect spot for Dez. Because both sides need it. You think about it. Colts need it because they need someone else that he that luck can throw to. And Dez doesn't need to be a deep threat here, you know, because they got T.Y. That's what he'll do. He'll be more of an underneath guy. He can use his big body. And it's perfect for Dez because Dez has said all along he wants to sign a one-year make-good contract. Well, it'd be perfect. Luck's back. You got to go to top quarterback. They're going to be trailing in most games, so they're going to throw the ball a ton. So you'll have a lot of opportunities to make catches, to make receptions, to get back out there and have a big season. Whether or not we think it's possible, that's completely different. The opportunity would be there. So I think it makes sense. My only reasoning here, Mike, is that Dez does have that reputation. True or not, you know, he has that reputation, maybe being a clubhouse, a locker room problem, clubhouse problem.
It's the only reason he wouldn't be there.
It's the only thing I can think of.
Which means it's a real reason. There's no other reason other than we don't want him in the building. We don't want him around. I know for a fact that they had to assign a guy to Dez in Dallas to try to get him to show up. It is known that he had missed during his time in Dallas upwards of 40, 50 meetings. Just missed them. Just no-showed them. Everybody else showing up, and they let it go. Why? Because there's too clear of a path between the players and Jerry, especially a guy like Dez. So the only reason is they don't want him in the building. The Colts have $57 million. They can afford whatever they feel like paying Dez, and I'm sure he would do a one-year, $8 million deal. Physically, is he the same as he was? No. But Brandon Marshall is still playing. He's not as broken down as Brandon Marshall and other guys still out there. He's just not as explosive as he once was. He's got foot issues and leg injuries, and he can't get separation. But it's not that he can't get open. He's just not as good as he once was.
I have nothing to add there. I think you're 100% correct. I think everything you said is right. Dez is not the speed burner. He's lost a step and a half, but he's still got that body. He's still a red zone threat. You know, a guy can go up and get the ball. It all has to be attitude, you know, and not wanting to deal with all the crap that comes along with it. And I get that. I truly do get that. You know, and it may not be worth it. It really comes down to me. I'm more surprised the Colts haven't done more here. Ryan Grant, really? That's your answer for your number two wide receiver? Yeah, good luck with that. Let me know how that works out for you.
What are they waiting for? The quarterback is always, no matter who it is, a fleeting commodity. And I understand that Andrew Luck is far younger than somebody like Ben Roethlisberger, to put an example, guys whose clocks are ticking on their NFL careers. But you have to try to make him as good as you can while he's still there. There's $57 million under the cap. Next year they have $70 million, which is top four in the league. The year after that, it's $121 million. Granted, you know, the numbers are going to change dramatically, but they're already paying the QB. This isn't some guy in a rookie QB deal. He's on an expensive quarterback deal. A little bit team-friendly, but still relatively expensive. So I'm with you. I don't know what the hell they're doing. So it just sort of bugs me when teams are making decisions like this between the Raiders and the Colts and everything else. At least the Bears are going for it. I wasn't a believer before the Mac thing, but now, screw it. Like, yeah, look at that. They're paying a bunch of people and bringing them in and changing the culture and the whole thing. Like, even if it doesn't work, you can't criticize the Bears for what they're doing.
No. Like I said, once again, I think you're right. I wish I could. I would love to argue with you. I cannot. I think you hit the nail on the head here.
So let's go to the Browns, the team that I don't think is going to go over. And it's, what did I say it was? 6.5? 5.5.
I thought it was 5.5. Yeah.
Yeah, it is 5.5. So what do you got here?
All right. So you look at the Browns. I do have the over here. Now, I think they could start 0-2. Pittsburgh got New Orleans. That's a tough start, 0-2. But I think they could quickly be 2-2. You know, they got the Jets at home in a Thursday night game, and then at Oakland. I think they can win both those. So I think they'll be 2-2 right off the bat here. Baltimore, it's at home. Listen, they're not going 0-6 in the division. All right, I think they go 3-3. Wouldn't shock me. 2-4 at worst. So I go, I'll give a – fine, it's at Baltimore. I'll give a loss here. Chargers, loss. Then a win versus Tampa, at Pittsburgh, loss. I got a win versus KC. So I think now I got 4 wins, if I'm correct. Mm-hmm. Atlanta, loss.
That's right.
At Cincinnati, at Houston. Fine, you want to give them both losses. I'm okay with that. I think they beat Carolina. I don't think Carolina is all that good. And then it comes down to Denver, Cincinnati, Baltimore. I need one more. I think they'll definitely win one of those three. You know, and I think they could even get seven. It wouldn't shock me here. But since it's over 5.5, I only need to get the six. I think they get the six. They're playing so many mediocre teams that are maybe slightly better than them, but not massively. And I think they'll get the six. I think they actually might do it kind of easily, because I think there are a couple games I gave them losses where they can actually pull those out as well.
I only have them at five. I only have them at five.
You're wrong. What can I tell you? You're just wrong.
Okay. I got the under on the Browns. Screw the Browns. Going with the Browns over. Are you crazy? Anyway, I watch Hard Knocks. It's influencing me in a negative way. So I would probably stay away from it, to be honest, because of what you said. The division might be a little softer than it normally is. So let's go to the Bengals, because this is an interesting team. The more I've been looking at it, I don't like the Bengals in particular. Just as a longtime fan of the Steelers, that was always the team that was like a thorn in the side, and there was always a lot of dirty games and stuff throughout the course of my fandom and watching them. So it'll never be a situation where I'm rooting for the Bengals, and I would also find it to be a tough team to be in on an over-under contest with because of that reason. But nonetheless, they're kind of an interesting one to me. Right now, they are at 6.5, so they'd have to get to 7. Juice heavy on the over right now. One of the most expensive bets on the board. Again, I'll check those during the break to make sure you know which ones are the most expensive bets. And the more money has flowed in, clearly, in the last couple of weeks. So the juice on the overs and the unders has risen because more and more money has flowed in on certain bets. So heavy over on the Bengals right now. And I think I'm with the over. So I'll do this one, and you can write down where you disagree with me. I think they beat Indianapolis on the road. Then I think they beat Baltimore at home, 2-0. They have to go to Carolina and go to Atlanta. I'll say 2-2. Then they host Miami. That's 3 wins. They host Pittsburgh, which I would pick the Steelers. I think I probably did pick the Steelers initially.
So you're 3-3.
I'll have to stick, yeah. Yes, 3-3. Then they go to KC. Then they go to Tampa. That's a win. Bye week. New Orleans. Then at Baltimore. Hosting Cleveland. That's 5. Hosting Denver. That's 6. At the Chargers. Hosting the Raiders. That's 7. At Cleveland. At Pittsburgh. They could probably get another one in there. It's not a bad schedule. After the bye week, there's a couple of tough teams in there, but very winnable games. Like the Browns twice. And who knows if the Steelers need to play week 17. They didn't last year or the year before. So they did last year. The year before, those Steelers didn't have to play out 17. So I got 7 on the Bengals. That's over.
It's hard to disagree with much of what you said there. Their schedule does play out nicely. My problem is always going to be, a lot of these teams are giving them wins over, they're right even with. You know, they're not massively better. I would give them wins over them as well. I mean, Indianapolis will win. You know, Baltimore, even though it's home, I don't know if I'd give them necessarily a win. They'll be tough. At Carolina, once again, they're even here. So Baltimore, Carolina, I'd probably go 1-1 there. So they start 2-1, then they're 2-2, 3-2, 3-3. So I got the same as you. I didn't know what you said at Kansas City. You mentioned Kansas City, but you didn't say win or loss.
Loss.
At KC, so 3-4,
yeah,
4-4, 4-5, 4-6. I don't think they're going to beat Cleveland twice. I think they split 5-7.
I got to 7 by the time they got to the Raiders game.
5-7, Denver, because you gave an automatic win versus Denver. I don't think that's automatic at all. You know, so once
I'm not high on
6-7. Neither am I, but I'm not high on Cincinnati either. I can't just give them automatic wins.
Well, give me a minute to do a Cincinnati Bengals narrative. Their major issue last year was offensive line. They drafted somebody, they traded for Cordy Glenn. I can't say it's fixed, but it's a lot better than it was. They got Mixon in year 2 with a revamped offensive line, which could allow them to control the ball a lot more. I may not be a big believer in Andy Dalton, but I think with a little bit more protection here, he still has one of the top receivers in football. He got John Ross healthier, Tyler Boyd here in year 3. And I'm also not a believer in John Ross. But I've, over the course of this preseason, I've become a bigger believer in A.J. Green because his ADP has fallen, and I've become a bigger believer in Joe Mixon because I think he could get to 300 touches, and I think it could be a more efficient 300 touches, which it wasn't at all last year. So I actually am a little bit more of a believer in Cincinnati than I was probably 2 months ago before when we started doing this analysis.
Like I said, looking at the schedule, I could see them. What's the over-under? Was it 6.5. Six. They got to get to 7. I think that's the max of what they do is 7. So that's why it's hard for me. I can't see how they get to 8 or 9. So I think the max, if everything goes their way, is 7. That's tough. You know, and that's sort of not counting the Pittsburgh game. Yes, the Pittsburgh game doesn't mean anything at the end. That could be an easier game, but it's still at Pittsburgh. I don't trust Andy Dalton. I don't think there's a lot there. I don't trust Marvin Lewis whatsoever either. Surprised he still has a job. But
15 years, no playoff wins for Marvin.
It's shocking. Shocking that he still has a job. But all in all, I can't really fight you on it because I can't get a good argument against it either. They do have their schedule. It does play out nicely with a lot of softer teams than I would have expected.
But would you take the under then?
Indianapolis games. I know they're going to win. I think I'm with you. I think if I had the, I wouldn't be a lot of money. Granted, it wouldn't be. But I think I would go the over as well.
You got 3 overs right now on the AFC North. So here's the Ravens. I feel like we've done the Ravens like 10 times, but the Ravens wager is at 8. Oof. They have to get to 9, but the money is on the over right now. -165 on the over. My narrative for the Bengals would have to be them almost switching roles with the Ravens if you think the Ravens fall apart. So here's the Ravens schedule. Hosting the Bills, then at Cincinnati. It's 1-1. Hosting Denver, 2. At Pittsburgh, no. At Cleveland. I think you gave Cleveland a win there. So I still am only having, I'm at 2-3 right now. At Tennessee, 2-4. Hosting New Orleans, they'd have to get a win there.
I don't think so. Okay. I'm not giving a win versus New Orleans. Maybe the best team in the NFC.
Okay. So at Carolina.
I can't get Baltimore. I'll give them a win at Carolina. I don't think Carolina's all that good.
So that's 3-5 you have them. Hosting Pittsburgh.
Yeah, they always split there, so 4-5.
4-5. Since hosting Cincinnati,
5-5.
Hosting Oakland,
6-5.
You have on a 4-game win streak. At Atlanta,
there's your loss.
At Kansas City,
certainly not going to be easy. December, Kansas City going to be cold, but I don't think Kansas City is all that great a team. I'm going to give them a win here. Are you stunned about the win? Oh, I think we lost Mr. Blewett here. So that gives Kansas City, I give them 5 wins. Tampa Bay, they play the next week, 6. At the Chargers, probably a loss. And then at Cleveland, I think that Cleveland game would be the win to get them to 8. So I think the over-under is 8. Therefore, I'm going to take the under here. I don't think they're going to get to 8. I gave them a lot of wins, that 4-game win streak that they probably can't win. So I'll assume they're not going to get W's here. Listen, it's a good team, Baltimore, an improved team. Like what they've done as far as the passing game is concerned, adding Crabtree, adding Brown, adding Snead. It finally gives Joe Flacco some legitimate weapons here. What I will wonder is this. Suppose they do start off 2-5. You know, and that schedule does get tough in the beginning. And they do start 2-5. Does that mean they make a switch to Lamar Jackson a little earlier than we think? Joe Flacco is owed no more guaranteed money. They can, you know, lose him and it won't be a problem at any time and move on from Joe Flacco. So I do wonder, you know, what happens then? I like Lamar Jackson. He's not really ready for the NFL yet. They'll have some problems if and when they do make that change. So that's it for Baltimore. I'm going to take the under there. I seem to be under on just about everybody in most of these games here. And listen, it's fun little prop bets. I do enjoy these, how you rank these teams. We'll be back. Probably do the AFC South next. Mike Blewett, George Kurtz, Roto Experts in the Morning, coming up after the break.